This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Well, bringing you all the up-to-date information on sexual health and well-being. Brought to you by the Victorian AIDS Council on Joy 94.9.
Joy. And this is Well on Joy 94.9, presented to you every week by the Victorian AIDS Council as we talk about health and well-being in our gender, sex and sexually diverse community. I'm Adam and I'm joined this week by my co-host, Jack.
Yeah, it doesn't actually sound like... There's something maybe technically going on with a little bit of the microphones, but well, I don't know. We'll figure it out in a second or anything. But look, I guess on tonight's show, I guess I'll chat it off because I've cut off your microphone so nobody can hear you. But basically, so on tonight's show, it's the start of a new series of shows that leads up to World AIDS Day. So the topic for tonight's show specifically is that we have more tools for HIV prevention than we have ever had before. So we'll be chatting about some of the biomedical prevention strategies that are additional options available to people. And to do so, we'll chat with Michael Billen from PrEP Access Now about, well, obviously PrEP, and Joel Murray from Living Positive Victoria about treatment as prevention, which I consider to be two sides of the one coin, and we'll explore that in detail a little bit more. So if people actually want to get involved with the conversation and ask one of our guests a question, there are several ways. Best ways on air at joy.org.au or SMS 0427 Joy 949, or both of which we get right here in the studio.
Joy 94.9.
This is well on Joy 94.9.
It is indeed.
Yes, it. Oh, there we go.
It's finally working.
You're finally on. So we are now joined in the studio by Michael Whelan from PrEP Access Now. So welcome, Michael. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you guys?
Great. And that's your microphone.
Even better
as
now
well.
That there's things that are working.
So let's get right into it. So exactly what is PrEP Access Now?
So PrEP Access Now is a non-for-profit incorporated association, technically, but we're a community activist group that aims to improve access to PrEP in the ongoing battle to end HIV in Australia.
And Michael, just how long has PAN been, PrEP Access Now been around?
We love an acronym now.
Excuse me, I'll probably say PAN as
okay,
well.
So when we say PAN, it's PrEP Access Now.
Correct.
How long's that been around and how did it in fact get started?
Well, PrEP Access Now is sort of the baby of the sector, I guess you could say. We've only been around for just over a year. We all came together in September 2015, so we've just had our first birthday. Originally, the group came about through online chatter on Facebook, which is how a lot of things get started these days.
So community-driven?
Community-driven, yeah. So we were on another Facebook group called Prepped for Change, just discussing PrEP access in Australia. And it originally started by discussing the Australian Defence Force's provision of PrEP to their defence personnel.
So this is interesting. Most people won't know that even existed.
Mm. Yes, it did. Mm. And so everyone got, you know, talking about that and was like, well, why can't we have access to it? You know, the military's getting this for nothing. Mm. Why can't we have it? So everyone decided to band together and fight for that, pretty much.
So for a lot of people out there that might not know what PrEP is or what it stands for, what's PrEP and what does it stand for?
Well, so PrEP stands for pre-exposure prophylaxis, which is the use of antiretroviral medications, the same or similar ones that HIV-positive people use to keep their viral load suppressed and to keep them healthy. But it's using it pre-exposure to ensure that people who are not HIV-positive stay that way.
And how effective is it, Michael?
PrEP is one of the best HIV prevention tools that we have, so it's more effective than condoms. Shock horror. Mm. It's offers a 99% basically risk reduction in contracting HIV. So that doesn't mean one out of every 100 times you have sex, you're going to get HIV. Yep. That's not what that means. So if you've got I think it's a 1.43% chance of contracting HIV from a HIV-positive partner who's got an unsuppressed viral load that ejaculates inside you, this reduces that right down 99%. So it's basically one in 7,000, I think.
So a few ifs and buts and maybe you could be your... Sorry, there's variations.
No, yet. Pardon the pun, buts, John.
Yeah, no, no. Yes, sorry, yeah.
So how long has PrEP been around? I mean, obviously you're talking about PrEP Access now, sort of coming out of this discussion around it being used within the Defence Force.
Yep.
And I assume that was just within an Australian context, so...
It was,
What about the rest of the world?
PrEP has been around for a while, so the medication that we use at the moment, Truvada, to use as PrEP, has been approved by the American FDA since, I think, 2004, 2003, correct me if I'm wrong, as an HIV antiretroviral, so given to HIV-positive people. The FDA approved it for PrEP use, so pre-exposure prophylaxis, in 2012, but the idea of PrEP's been around for some time before that.
So the idea of PrEP, rather than the actual use of PrEP?
Yeah, I guess. PrEP in itself isn't a medication, it's not a drug. PrEP is a concept, so it's all about pre-exposure to HIV preventing yourself.
And the particular medication that is used is PrEP.
Mm-hmm.
It's well established that it does lower viral load in positive people.
Yeah, it's one of the baseline medications that a lot of HIV people, HIV positive people use to suppress their viral load.
Hmm.
It's a very, very effective medication.
Okay.
Well, 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 bringing you all the up-to-date information on sexual health and well-being on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
Joy, joy, joy. And this is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. So, Michael, a lot of people are probably unaware that PrEP is an option for them, and you said it has a reduction of 99% for that 1.34%, basically meaning 1 in 7,000. Right, so that's a lot of stats.
You're good at maths.
It is, you are good at maths.
Well, no, I'm good at remembering.
Yeah, you're good at remembering things.
I have no idea what that means pragmatically. But is PrEP a suitable option for everyone? And if not, why not?
Well, PrEP is suitable for very, very many people. Obviously, if you're already an HIV-positive person, PrEP isn't for you. But barring a few hiccups along the way, PrEP is suitable for everyone. So some of the medication, the drugs that's in the Truvada that we use as PrEP currently, it can be a little bit difficult on your kidneys and on your bone density. So when you go in for your PrEP assessment and your, you know, to get your first script, you'll get a whole bunch of tests run to make sure that you don't fit into one of those categories. And usually, anyway, you'll get onto the medication and they'll just sort of monitor you unless your kidneys, you know, half falling out of your body kind of thing.
Would the monitoring, because we encourage people to have sexual health checks every 3 months, so would it just fall into the normal quarterly health check?
Yeah, so when you get your PrEP, you have to test rigorously every 3 months at least, and when they do that, they give you all your regular testing.
And what exactly is involved by being on PrEP as such?
Well, so to get on PrEP, you firstly need to decide whether it's right for you. We believe at PrEP Access now that PrEP should be available to anyone that wants it. But some people think, oh, PrEP, it's the new thing, and then do their research and decide, oh, it's probably not for me. So it's important to do your research first. Jump on, say, the PrEP Access Now Facebook page or the PrEP for Change Facebook page. Have a chat to some people and figure out if it's right for you. And then it's as simple as going down to your gay-friendly, queer-friendly GP or clinic. Lots of them in the metro area, a few of them outside of the metro area, and they'll do an assessment of your risky behaviour. So if you've, you know, been on PEP before or you frequently have condomless anal intercourse, they'll suggest that you go on to PrEP.
Well, that's what I was going to say in terms of, I guess, people's risk profiles, depending on what you get up to and who you get up to with and what you might know and what you might not know about particular partners, whether it's casual, monogamous, everything and in between. You kind of go, for people that are at very low risk but are kind of the worried well, and they go, this can actually help me as well, but they have consistently used condoms, they don't change partners, or they basically have no partners, or there's no penetration where there's an entry point and an exit point for the HIV to actually transmit between two people. So for those people that want to get on PrEP, can they still get on PrEP?
They can still get on PrEP. So if you go to your GP outside of the PrEPX study, which we'll probably talk about in a minute, you can go on it for whatever reason. So they'll generally do a little risk assessment and say, look, you've fallen a 10 out of a 20. Maybe PrEP's for you, maybe it's not. It's all down to personal choice. So if you want it, you should get access to it. If you're on the PrEPX study, they'll do an assessment of your risk behaviour. And if you fall outside of what you would say, you know, is the worried well, there is a caveat in the sign-up process where you can basically say, oh, well, I don't feel comfortable, you know, letting you know how much bareback sex I'm having, or you know, my behavior might change when my partner and I split up, or whatever. So there's always a caveat for you to.
And of course, it would be a consideration for anyone who is in a discordant relationship. That's one positive, one negative. So it'd be.
Yes, definitely.
Assessed on that basis as well.
And obviously, I guess we've got to say that whilst PrEP is a concept, it is taking a pill every single day.
Every day.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's when we're talking about PrEP in terms of what it actually means pragmatically on the ground in terms of what you've got to do.
Yep.
So you've got to adhere to the medication and in that sort of way.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but exactly how does PrEP work? So obviously it helps someone with HIV sort of protect the immune system, keep them healthy, but for someone who's HIV negative, does it increase the immune system as well?
It's not kale. It's not quinoa. It's not a food. It's not going to increase.
Thank goodness.
increase your immune system.
So it's not
system.
A vegan option.
It is not. No, I couldn't tell you whether it's gluten free or not. No. Well, essentially, the medication does exactly the same thing. So Truvada that we currently use as PrEP has two drugs in it: emtricitabine and tenofovir. They're what we call, now I can't remember what they're called.
It'll come to you at 3 a.m.
It'll come to me at 3 a.m. Basically, what the drugs do is when HIV enters the body, it tries to find somewhere to go. And it's in a single-stranded RNA. So if you imagine DNA, it's just one of the little strands. So before it can get into your body and swarm and spread everywhere, it has to change into a piece of DNA, which is two little strands. And then it can get into your chromosomal DNA. And then you've got it. And then you become HIV positive. You seroconvert. What the inhibitors do is they stop that process from happening. So it remains a single-stranded piece of RNA. Can't get into your blood. It can get into your bloodstream. It can't get into your cells. It can't. It can't develop. And it just dies off.
Basically a biological barrier.
Basically, yeah. So in an HIV positive person, it would stop the same reaction happening, but obviously the HIV is already in the person's body as opposed to waiting for it to come in and then tearing
and
it pieces.
So what do you claim about, I guess, or what is your response to, I guess, the moralistic claim for guys that go on PrEP that just want to have bareback sex, that this will actually increase rates of STIs? So is there data to actually back up their claims? Because that's something that gets banded around quite a fair bit. Or is there evidence to sort of refute?
I don't think there's any question
sort of indicate the opposite.
That lots of people going on to PrEP will increase STIs. I think that's just what's going to happen. That's been shown in a couple of the studies around the world that STI rates have gone up. What's also gone up is the amount of times that person has been testing. So to access PrEP, at the moment you need to go back to see your GP or your clinician every 3 months. So you're getting quarterly testing. And I think the last testing rates at the last survey, correct me if I'm wrong, were, I think, one in every five guys, I think, was testing that regularly. So a massive, massive jump in guys that will be testing. And hopefully, fingers crossed, these are the sexually adventurous guys that are engaging in high-risk activities. So they're the ones we want testing. So you're going to get an increase in STI rates, obviously, because more people are testing. And just to throw a little bit of shocking information out there, your parents had probably a lot of bareback sex to have you. So bareback sex is happening.
And there's treatments for other STIs as well.
Exactly, yes. So lots of guys are going out and getting on PrEP, getting their three-monthly testing done. Chlamydia shows up, you know, gonorrhea shows up, gets tested and treated, and you're off on your way and not giving that to everyone else.
Yeah, well, it's basically like STI control to a certain degree, because you are going back and you're probably getting frequently or getting tested more frequently than what you would if you weren't actually adhering to a PrEP regimen. Which I think is pretty good, in all honesty. But I guess, where do we stand in relation to people being able to access PrEP? So what are the options? You've mentioned a PrEPX study. You mentioned going down to your friendly GP and clinic. So can we tease out those options a little bit more and give people some more, I guess, concrete advice
about
how to get it?
It depends where you are in Australia. If you're streaming this from all around the country, the climate is a little bit different in every state. Here in Victoria, we've got the PrEPX study. So that's a list of 2,600 people that have been or will be signed up for the PrEPX study. So that gives anyone that's on that study
which is
easy, affordable access to the medication. So you basically pay your $38.60, whatever your Medicare rebate level is, for your 3 month supply. So it's very, very, very cost effective. Unfortunately, the study is pretty much full. So if you're in the metro area and you're considering getting on PrEP and you're not on PrEPX currently, jump on the website, on the Alfred Health website, and jump on the waiting list. Because if someone does happen to pull out, you know, I get in a relationship, you know, we're monogamous, PrEP not for me, I can easily pull out. I'm not committed to the PrEPX study. So definitely jump on the wait list. If you're in a regional or rural centre, so say you're in a Ballarat or Bendigo or Geelong, there have been a certain amount of places reserved for those places.
That's
so
good.
Yeah, we didn't want to fill up, you know, the entire study with, we've got these great clinics in Melbourne. Oh, by the way, Ballarat, you're on your own.
Yep.
So there's a certain number of places for those people. So if you're listening outside of the metro area, please keep yourself on the PrEPX list. Mm. And outside of that, you can still personally import the medication. So that's one of the things that PrepExis now has been advocating for. So you can go down to your GP, not on the PrepEx study. You can get your script and you order and import the medication from overseas. Perfectly legal, all above board. You just have to import it in 3 monthly lots and provide your script. And that's it.
So it's not available, but you can get it. Or is it?
It's available. It's just legal, a little trickier to get.
Yeah.
So early this year,
or it could be very expensive.
It can be very expensive. If you go down to your chemist with your script, just down to Chemist Warehouse or wherever, you're likely to pay about $783, I think it is, for your month's supply of medication. So outside the realm of possibilities,
kind of a little bit different
for a lot of people.
It's just not financially feasible.
It's not. Yeah. So we recommend purchasing it for one of the medications we recommend on the PrEP Access Now website.
And so we're talking about PrEP specifically in relation to HIV, because now we have more tools for HIV prevention than ever before. But how does it work in relation to other STIs beyond HIV?
Well, PrEP doesn't prevent against any other STIs except for HIV, and it also doesn't prevent pregnancy. But to put it in perspective, it's like saying, well, the female contraceptive pill only prevents pregnancy, or the new Hep C medications only cure Hep C. So let's not throw baby out with the handbasket and, you know, disregard one prevention tool because it only does one thing. Mm. PrEP does something really, 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 really well, which is prevent HIV. So it doesn't prevent your gonorrhea, it doesn't prevent your syphilis, but it does do that one thing really well. So condoms are always great to keep in the mix. Any other kind of barrier methods, so your dams and things, they're the best tool that we have currently to prevent other STIs. So those should definitely be still kept in the mix.
So probably the biggest, I guess, if people are across PrEP and they're quite familiar with it and how it works and what it does and where to access it, that the biggest issue they would have is that two people who have been on PrEP have actually contracted HIV.
This is true.
So whilst there are thousands of people on PrEP that have not, these are two very, I guess, potentially disconcerting or potentially off-putting. So how do you, I guess, provide a contextual discussion that indicates how safe PrEP is whilst involving these two people in the mix?
Yeah, well, you've sort of just got to look at those two people to think, okay, we've had two seroconversions globally that have been recorded. These two people were both taking their medication adherently, so they're both taking it every day, and they still contracted HIV. Well, that's unfortunate. That's not what we want. There's upwards of, you know, 150,000 people taking this medication worldwide, both Truvada and generic variants of it, and we've had two seroconversions. So that's a pretty good number. That's nothing to be sneezed at. And it just goes to show you that nothing is 100%. Mm. You know, you can wear a condom. I can be on PrEP, you know.
And condoms can break and slip off.
Condoms break. No medication is 100% effective if, you know, the contraceptive pill, not effective 100% of the time. My cousin got his wires snipped and used a condom, and his wife was on the contraceptive pill, and my cousin Isaac was stillborn. So,
wow,
not everything is 100% effective.
That baby really wanted to happen.
He really wanted to get born. Yeah.
I just noticed we've got a question here. Now, we're talking about men and MSM, as well, gay men and PrEP.
Yep.
Can you read it out, please?
Yeah, I can't. You think that HIV prevention is still considered a gay male issue? So Anthony from Reservoir asks, when I ask my straight friends about the HIV status, they look at me weird as if I've asked a silly question. And I guess this ties into, I guess, World AIDS Day and it being a world concept, and the fact that within the Australian context it's very gay MSM focused. But what do you actually think of Anthony's question?
I think it's a very good question. I'm sure lots of gay, bi, queer men have had that same exact experience, saying, oh, when was your last HIV? I don't know. What do you mean? When would I get tested for HIV? Well, we have to do it all the time. I mean, the stats are as that, you know, gay men or MSM are predominantly the ones on the receiving end of this virus in Australia. So that's just what the climate is here.
No one's immune.
And like you said, you know, worldwide, that's not necessarily the case.
It's a heterosexual epidemic.
It is a heterosexual epidemic, yeah. But here in Australia, it's a different story. It's predominantly contracted by men who have sex with men.
So do you think that that's worthwhile then that, I guess, people from our community have conversations with people from the heterosexual community about HIV? Because we've got organisations and we've got Joel coming up from Living Positive Victoria, and they do a lot of work across different community sectors with different community organisations around HIV awareness and stigma and discrimination and things like that. You know, so I guess it's expanding it beyond our community, even though we are predominantly the ones most affected by this virus.
It's definitely important that we have those conversations with our, you know, our ally brothers and sisters everywhere.
Across Christmas lunch?
Across Christmas lunch, why not?
Exactly.
It's what I talked about with my family last Christmas, and not even joking. We literally talked about PrEP for a good hour. Talked to, you know, not my just direct family members, but, you know, my aunties and uncles. We're like, so what do you do? I'm passionate about sexual health.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good to hear.
That's awesome. Well, Michael, thanks very much for coming in and chatting to us about PrEP.
No problem.
We've got Joel coming in to talk about the other side of the coin. That's how I like to sort of phrase it in terms of treatment as prevention. But if people wanted to find out more about PrEP Access Now or how to import PrEP or exactly what it is,
sure,
where should they go as a first point of contact?
Great first point of contact would be the PrEP Access Now website. So you can go to www.prepaccessnow.com.au. That has links to our Facebook, which is a great little hub where you can ask questions. No question is silly. No question is stupid. Well, no question will go unanswered.
Yes.
And through there, you can also find links to things like Prep for Change, which is also another great website, and another great Facebook group, and links to things like the Double Happiness Campaign, which sort of ties into what Joel's probably going to be talking about as well.
Fantastic. Well, Michael, thanks very much for coming in. Joy 94.9. And this is Well on Joy 94.9. Now, we've actually had a few emails that have come in that we've actually just unfortunately didn't pay attention to as they were coming through. And they're actually quite tricky ones. So some of it has to do with, I guess, having Truvada as an antiretroviral in terms of long-term side effects.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I think there's other things about kidney issues that PrEP is a concept and safe sex is also a concept,
yep,
and it's a medication, so about drug marketing and a little bit things like that, and also drug resistance and virus mutation. Now, those three questions we could turn into three separate shows, but what we're going to do is, because we actually love hearing from our listeners about any questions that you guys want to throw at us, we'd love to hear, and anything that we can sort of provide information and advice and I guess start a community dialogue about. So what we're going to do is we're going to post these questions on the Well Facebook page,
yep,
with responses, and we're also going to get them posted on the PrEP Access Now Facebook page and probably the PrEP for Change. We're going to see if we can try and slot that in as well, only because those conversations could go on for the next 5 hours. So to the two old hoofs who have sent them through, that's what they've called themselves. We love you. Thank you very much. Anything we do, we're happy to be questioned, called out on.
Yep.
Absolutely. That's why we're here. That's why we've got the guests on. So let's start the community dialogue. So sorry we can't address those right now, but we will get to them soon.
But as you said, it's a medication, and medications need to be taken considered in the whole
entirety
of options.
But we are now welcomed by Joel Murray, who's the policy officer from Living Positive Victoria. So welcome, Joel. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you for having me on again.
So can you tell the listener a little bit about yourself in terms of what you do work-wise and what Living Positive Victoria is?
Yeah, so Living Positive Victoria is the not-for-profit agency in Victoria that looks after and advocates on behalf of all people living with HIV. There, my work, I'm the Senior Officer of Policy and Research, so I look at things from a research perspective. So, for example, we know that there are a high number of syphilis notifications, mm-hmm, particularly in HIV-positive gay and bisexual men. And so I wrote a paper on, you know, what can we do to help reduce syphilis incidence. But my work covers not just gay men. We also, some of my work is about and for and with women living with HIV, and also heterosexual people living with HIV, their couples and their families.
And Joel, how long have you been in the HIV sector as such?
I've been a speaker with the Speakers Bureau since I since I was diagnosed in 2010, so as a positive person. But for Living Positive Victoria directly in this role, I've been there for a year now.
And so the reason we've got you on the show is to talk about, as I have, I think this is like the fourth time I've said it, the other side of the same coin, treatment is prevention and that concept. So basically it's another HIV prevention strategy, but can you explain to us what this concept is and what treatment is prevention means?
So treatment as prevention is for people living with HIV. It's a concept that you, if you take your HIV medicine and you can achieve an undetectable viral load, that it's nearly impossible to pass on HIV. So, like, if I take, for example, myself, you know, I take my meds every morning and every 3 months I get my blood test and it says I have an undetectable viral load. And so what that undetectable viral load means that in a milliliter of blood, they cannot find the HIV virus.
So what's a viral load?
So viral load is the number of virus in a milliliter of blood. So when I first was HIV positive, it was in the millions. So there were a million viruses in just a milliliter of blood. And then shortly thereafter, it went down to about 15,000, and it sort of hovered between 15,000 and 30,000 for a while until I went on to medication, and then almost immediately, within a few days, I had an undetectable viral load. So that means that the viruses cannot be found in that milliliter of blood, but it's still in the body. It's just in reservoir in the lymph system.
And that's because of adherence issues. Every day you take a tablet.
Yeah.
And so it's breaking that the nexus between the virus being able to replicate, if you like, and yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, I take two medications. One is Truvada, which we were just talking about.
Yeah.
And then that stops the first process, the replication of the DNA. And then the other drug I take stops any HIV that's within the white blood cell from leaving the blood cell. So in the HIV life cycle, it likes to replicate itself and then leave the cell. Well, and this drug stops it from leaving the cell, which means the cell can kill it.
And so how do you achieve an undetectable viral load? Is it simply just taking the medications that you are prescribed by your doctor every day or every so often or whatever the regimen might be? Or are there other things that you have to do as well? Like everybody says healthy eating and healthy living and all of this stuff really helps the immune system and whatnot.
Reduce alcohol.
Well, yeah, those kind of things. Hmm. But is it literally, we're talking about a biomedical sort of intervention here to achieve undetectable?
Yeah, I mean, it's complicated because not
everyone... I knew, that's why I asked it.
Not everyone can achieve an undetectable viral load. There are lots of different other medical factors that can contribute to being able to achieve an undetectable viral load. And one of those is having like a late diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
And a late diagnosis is when you may have been living with HIV for a long time, but because you didn't get tested, you didn't know you had HIV. And so the impact that can have on the immune system, in particular the white blood cells, so that can have an effect. Which means that you can get sicker more often if you have a lower immune system. But then when you actually do get onto medication, some people, you know, who have had a late diagnosis have trouble achieving undetectable viral load. For me, I'm lucky that I can, and the majority of people can. People living with HIV can achieve an undetectable viral load, and it is about adhering to your medication. So it's like every day, you know, at the same time. You know, I've talked to doctors about, you know, the impact of things like going out and partying and diet and sleep. And certainly, you know, I think like everyone, you've got to do everything in moderation in terms of the partying and try and make a concerted effort to be healthy anyway. Yeah, but the direct impact on that on your viral load is like there is no direct impact. It's not like one weekend I'll go out and get, you know, drunk and then tomorrow I'll have a worse viral load. The one thing that can impact on an undetectable viral load is the presence of other STIs. So it's still, you know, for someone like me, like I don't have to get my viral load checked every 3 months because it's been undetectable for such a long time, but I still need to go in and have a sexual health screening if I've been sexually active, because if I have syphilis or if I have gonorrhea or chlamydia, that can actually cause my viral load to go from being undetectable to being detectable, which means if I was, you know, having unprotected, you know, condomless anal intercourse, I could be putting someone at risk. Mm. So
in a nutshell, perhaps some treatment as prevention could be summed up as know your status, get tested, encourage people to have their quarterly tests, know your status, and if you're positive, get onto treatments probably earlier rather than later.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of evidence now saying that starting your HIV treatment is really important, starting it as early as the person is ready, because that way, you know, you're not having sex with people and you're not potentially putting them at risk of HIV.
And so how effective is treatment as prevention? I mean, we talked about PrEP being 99% effective, but do we know any information about treatment as prevention?
Yeah. If you want a statistic, it's about 96%. Now, there was a study called the Partner Study, and that was a study of serodiscordant relationships, which, as Jack said earlier, is when one partner is HIV positive and one partner is HIV negative. Now, in this study, only the person who was HIV positive was taking treatment. The other person wasn't on PrEP. And there were 22 incidences of condomless sex. And in those 22,000 incidences, there were no seroconversions of HIV.
That's a whole lot of sex without a whole lot of seroconversions.
That's a lot
based
of
on
sex.
Treatment.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, and condoms were obviously in the mix as well. It wasn't always just or condomless, was it? Or was it?
I don't know.
I don't think so, actually. I think that was kind of the staggering element that
was
it was.
There was no
it
condoms.
Identified the low risk of,
Okay. Well, we're just going to listen to a couple of quick community service announcements and come back and maybe talk about the partner study in just a little bit more. And obviously, whether see if it's different for gay and straight couples. And it sort of goes back to one of the questions we posed earlier around whether HIV is actually still just a gay issue that we face. Exactly. But this is Well on Joy 94.9.
World AIDS Day, December 1st, is fast approaching, and the Victorian AIDS Council, VAC, need your helping hands. We need volunteers to help distribute red ribbons as part of our annual street appeal. Don't worry, this is not a sales or fundraising role. Volunteer your time and come along to have fun, meet new people, and make sure everyone has a red ribbon this World AIDS Day. To find out more, go to vac.org.au/WAD2016 or call Daniel at VAC on 9865 6700. Joy is proud to support this community message.
And this is Well on Joy 94.9. So before we were talking about the partner study, and I think there's a couple of things we might just need to clear up. So whilst there might have been 22,000 cases of condomless sex between partners, there might have been hundreds of thousands of cases of people having sex with
condoms.
And when we're talking about that people within the study that might have seroconverted, it actually wasn't with their primary partner who was taking antiretrovirals and had a sustained undetectable viral load. It was for people who had actually had sex outside of the relationship with partners of unknown or people with a detectable status.
Yes.
That's correct, Joel?
That sums it up.
Well summed up, Adam.
Thank you. So I guess, Joel, do you think that there is a difference between gay and straight couples in their risk when we're looking at treatment as prevention?
What we need to look at is the type of sex that they're having. So we know that it's more likely that transmission can occur through anal sex than vaginal sex. The vaginal sex risk is lower, not saying that there's no risk, but it's less than. But that's not to say that heterosexual people don't engage in anal sex. Mm. Certainly within Australia, there are women who are living with HIV who contracted it from their male partner. There are heterosexual men who have HIV, and some of them, who were hemophiliacs, their acquisition of HIV was way back in, you know, early.
Yeah, the early days.
The early days. But for new people, new acquisitions, there's definitely heterosexual men. So I think that the HIV message does need to get out there. And I thought Michael's suggestion of, you know, having conversations with allies and the people who you care about is really important.
Now, how does treatment as prevention work in relation to the prevention of other STIs besides HIV? We're talking before with Michael, and we're talking about the risks that just being on PrEP and not if you're not using condoms, you may be liable to other STIs. So treatment as prevention, what are the issues around that for STIs?
Well, it's the same as for PrEP. So it's... TASP is great for preventing HIV, and that's the primary thing we want to prevent, because at the moment there's no cure. There's no, like, once you've got HIV, you've got it for life. But for other STIs, yes, if you're not having condomless sex, then there is a risk of other STIs. There's risk of other STIs even if you're using condoms. Like, syphilis isn't 100% prevented by condoms, so you know
that. And I think there's such a misconception around that. It's like, if people use condoms, oh no, well, I'm protected against absolutely everything and possibly anything that exists STI wise. That is very much not the case.
Yeah, not the case at all. And also, like, yeah, you can get gonorrhea and chlamydia in your throat. Get it up your bum.
Yes,
you know.
Yes. So I guess the key thing to take away from, if your treatment is prevention, if it built into that whole process is regular STI checks, your quarterly sexual health checks,
yeah,
they should be able to pick things up and
definitely
deal with
it. And of course it's based on your sexual activity, so
of course we shouldn't assume everyone's out there.
All go through periods of higher sex activity and sometimes periods of none. So, there's no point in getting a test if you haven't done anything.
Well, Joel, thanks very much for coming in tonight and talking to us about our treatment as prevention. And I guess if the one thing that we could kind of, take away is that there are more tools now for prevention in terms for HIV specifically that are biomedical. And there's one that we're going to talk about very briefly after the next song. But PrEP and treatment as prevention are two sides of the one coin. Mm. And basically, it's the responsibility of each individual person to take responsibility for their own sexual health and that of their sexual partners as well.
Yeah.
And there's options available. So many different options.
Test, know your status.
Exactly.
And consider the options around treatment.
Absolutely. So, Joel, thank you so much for coming on
tonight.
It's
always a pleasure.
I'm sure we'll
get to have fun, after each other and yourself.
Exactly. Well, this is Well on Joy at 95.9.
95? 94? It's a bit of a... I was getting late.
John, it's a long day.
No.
Joy. So I guess the other thing to mention, that because we've been talking about tools for HIV prevention, is that condoms and water-based lube still remain a cornerstone of HIV prevention. And it's
absolutely
something that isn't falling by the wayside.
No.
It's just that there's other things now that are available. So the one thing that we haven't spoken about is PEP, or post-exposure prophylaxis.
Exactly.
So I guess if you engage in condomless sex because of the heat of the moment, where you don't grab a condom or there's not one available, or if there's a breakage or a slippage, PEP is basically a 28-day course of medication that you can take if taken within 72 hours of exposure to HIV to help prevent you from becoming HIV positive. So it needs to be emphasised that this is not a morning after pill for HIV.
It's in fact... it's strictly within a certain time frame, 72 hours of exposure or your risk activity, so that the clock's ticking as soon as you're aware that you may have been exposed.
Yeah, and so PEP and PrEP are kind of very, very similar in terms of their biological structure.
Yeah.
But PEP is sort of after the fact and PrEP is sort of before the fact. So whilst it might be a little bit confusing, it is also another option for someone who is consistently using condoms and maybe that one time...
something
for whatever reason, something went awry and they didn't, and they're worried about potentially contracting HIV because they're not sure about the status of the partner or the person they were with, that PEP is also an available option.
And there is an information line, isn't there, on PEP? And they can talk through any issues you may have to explore it or unpack it for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I guess if you wanted to find out more about PEP, it would go to getpep.info.
Yep.
Or you could call the PEP info line, which is 1-800-889-887. And they'll basically run you through everything that needs to happen. So the one thing that we'd probably emphasize about PEP is that if you are worried about something that's potentially happened, call the PEP info line as soon as possible, because the sooner after the exposure incident, the more effective it's going to be.
And that line number again is the PEP info line on 1-800-889-887.
And I guess one thing that we probably will also just mention is that because World AIDS Day is just around the corner...
December the 1st, not far away, December 3 weeks. December the 1st, thereabouts.
Absolutely. That there are a lot of opportunities for people to volunteer, both with us, the Victorian AIDS Council, and also with other organisations. But if you're interested in organising with us, because we're a little bit selfish, so we're going to put the call out for us.
That's right. And also there's lots of things happening. Living Positive Victoria are having a breakfast for positive women at the Alfred Hospital. There's a community event and forum at the Burnett Institute as well. You can get involved in that or come along. And there's a research presentation at the Burnett in the afternoon.
Yeah, there's also Street Appeal, which is about raising awareness. It's not necessarily about raising funds. We're always happy to take a donation.
And we'll be giving out the red ribbon.
Giving out the red ribbons, absolutely. And they are given away for free because we actually want people to take them on board, see what the messaging's about, yes, and get involved.
And, of course, in the evening at 6:30 at the Positive Living Centre is the memorial service and the quilt display and candlelight vigil, which all happens at 31 to 51 Commercial Road, the Positive Living Centre in South Yarra.
Yep, so if you are interested in getting involved with World AIDS Day, head to vac.org.au/WAD. And in the same vein, I guess we've got to say that because this is a series of shows for World AIDS Day, what have we got next week?
We've got some very interesting things next week, haven't we?
We do. Well, we've actually got a show that is about HIV stigma. That's and what right. that really means. So
unpacking all the stigma issues.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we've got four key messages this year around HIV still matters. Mm-hmm. So HIV and AIDS affects
everyone.
HIV affects everyone. HIV and AIDS are not over.
That's correct.
That people living with HIV, that stigma is real.
Yes.
Well, I can't believe that we've come to the end of another show. John?
I can't believe it at all. And we must thank our guest, Michael Whelan.
Yes.
From
Prep Access Now.
And the lovely Joel.
From Living Positive Victoria.
This is Well,
we are,
Well, Well.
We are on fire tonight.
We are. So you can tell it's nearly 9 o'clock, can't you? This is Well, 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 and we'll be back next week, same time, same place, same station. Joy, the greatest and queerest radio station in the world.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.